traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
I only mean, you know, like if someone were to give me a, I wouldn't find that problematic.
First of all, shut up, Mike!
Shut up, Mike! Mike, shut up. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. Are we rolling first off?
Yeah.
100%. Welcome back to Compulsive. Welcome back to Impulsive, the number one podcast in the world. Thank you. The mic, you're a podcast host. You need the mic, Mike.
What the?
So welcome back. We're a show. Subscribe to our show. It's not so bad. I have to tell you this. You butchered the therapist thing in the Posner episode, I felt like. So I was.
I did. I'm
going to cut it from that episode. Mm-hmm. If you want to fit it in here and give it another shot, no pressure.
Yeah. Well, I didn't think I butchered it. I think I didn't tell it as good as I should have or how it went down, and I'll tell you why.
That's kind of what butchering looks like.
He was diving into like this spiritual realm, and I didn't want him to think I was making fun of him. So I was trying to.
Listen, I don't care. I don't care. I said what I said.
But it's Mike Posner.
Well, we're here in Puerto Rico. The boys are back in town. Well, Jake's.
Hey, I need you to finish one of your sentences.
What's going on right now?
What's happening?
What's happening?
What's up with the snaps you're doing lately?
Yo, can we start this episode off properly with some news?
All right.
You may have already seen on other YouTube channels potentially, because I'm sure we've been talking about it. But I want to take a quick second to acknowledge the fact that George is now a sharing member of the Impulsive team. He's an officially a part owner of Impulsive. Welcome, George.
I appreciate that, man. I felt like I worked really hard this year to be a part of it. I wanted to ask at a good time, and I felt like I did a lot of work because this obviously was a rock star show before me, and it obviously will be after me. And it's done a lot for my career, my life. And
well, what you mean after you?
Just, you leaving? Just,
yeah, because if you leave, you know, your equity stake is zero.
I didn't want anybody to think because of this, it was like, now he feels like he's greater than everybody.
I think they were thinking that.
Well, I feel that way. I just don't tend to show it.
Well, I'll tell you why they might think something like that, George, because it's been approximately 12 hours since you picked up your ownership stake. And you made a request this morning. Pretty early in the morning, by the way, to change your seat, man.
First of all, it's been over a year. Never asked for anything. And the first thing I asked for was just, I want to sit here.
But why this morning?
I'll tell you
and
why.
It just didn't seem like much of an ask.
Well, now as a shareholder, I feel like, there's a lot of things that are going to be switching around here. First of all, we're getting rid of Kevin, all right? Kevin can't be here anymore. Milton, I don't want to see him.
He's not even here.
He records shit. It ends up on the internet. I don't even want it. He's a walking racist man.
Whoa.
I'm
that got
joking.
That
I was obviously pointing at David.
Is this in Jorsiv already?
Can we start the episode like this? I love this. So David, I just learned this, leaves scathing 1-star Yelp reviews. In full sincerity,
there's so much.
Give a review on this podcast.
Yeah, you're going to. There's so much that is. And once again, David sitting back down, the German videographer. So much that people don't know about this guy. He's enigmatic psychopath lunatic that will get his own episode at some point. But for today, it's another David's terrible German Yelp reviews session.
Another one. Is this the first time though, or?
Yeah, this is the first one.
So you fucked that up. This is why I'm a shareholder now, guys. I have to put this shit together. He's losing his mind. He's on drugs all the time, and that guy just got off of drugs.
Stop perpetuating this.
Oh, yeah, we need to stop.
Narrative.
We need to stop.
This is horrible.
You are on hard crack.
Oh, my God.
Because Mike needs another book. It's Get Your Friend to the Vital.
The Six Vital. Get him to the vital.
Your dick grew a little bit, and I don't like it.
I don't like it either.
My dick did, too. It's just the confidence.
Wait, what's going on with this guy? It didn't even make sense.
You know what? I swear to God, this is true, though. I grew 1 inch from stretching. I swear to God, and I will go up against a tape measure. You know, you can look at my ID.
We're gonna have that equity conversation.
I would love for this to be recorded.
George, you're fired.
Can't fire a shareholder. I will walk away with my percentage. Good day.
You clearly have not seen the contract because trust me, it don't look like that.
Hey, you know what's funny? Right after they welcomed me onto the team, they immediately started talking about massive changes, and I was like, "Can we shake on this before we start
well, because,
making other
because
changes?"
Well, because now, like all the money we make, the expenses come right off the top.
Yeah,
you know, and sometimes when you move to Puerto Rico and build an entirely new set and
budget cuts. I got him.
George,
I become the accountant. What the fuck? Why does Mike need two left socks? Why does he need two left socks?
Wait, how did you know that? They're supposed to have the logo on both sides. How did you know that?
Well, Mike, as a shareholder.
All right, David, with your Yelp review, what happened?
First off, this seating sucks.
Thank you.
As a guest.
You know what? You try to talk to a fucking guest like this.
Yeah. So let me.
No. Sorry.
He wasn't on your side.
Yeah. He's on our side.
I was actually saying now I have three people sitting here. So
staring
now the pressure
at you. Okay.
On me, I feel like it's a little bit more.
Got it. So George, you're canceled.
Like, look at all these.
Did he pay you to fucking say that?
No. It's because we're used.
Can we take a vote in the comment section?
No.
All right.
I'm putting this in the episode that's not this episode that you're watching. Obviously. I still look like a homeless guy in Florida. I'm a Florida man. Holy fuck. Yeah, we got an announcement with KSI coming January 3rd. Pay the fuck attention. Pay the fuck attention.
Probably pay that fucking attention.
David, listen to me. Listen to Mike. Tell me why you leave one-star Yelp reviews.
After Caleb picks the mic. Yep. Oh
see, that's fine, David. Look, you get the broken mic.
Why I do that?
Yeah, Dave, I mean,
I do it for the people, bro.
What do you mean?
No, I get it. For the people. So when you walk into an establishment, you know what's going on.
Why would you? I mean, you can leave a positive review, I guess, but you know.
Imagine that, Dave.
No one leaves a negative review.
Well, you do.
So if I have a negative experience, I want to make sure I share it so someone else can avoid the same.
That actually makes sense, which is why I found this interesting because he read these reviews to me and this is in full. Bring one out. Bring one out. They're in full sincerity.
Which one do you want first?
The cookie one seemed pretty
perfect.
Deliberate.
All right. Welcome back to David's negative Yelp review.
Welcome back where? Where have we done this before?
No, welcome
why
to
do
the
we keep
first.
Circling back to something that's never existed?
Welcome to the first negative Yelp review with David. By the way, you did one too in Colorado.
I did.
You got fired up. You were mad.
I did.
You were sitting down. The first thing you were doing, you're like, I'm right. Yeah, bro. This place sucks. They treated me unfair. They didn't even acknowledge me.
What's the next best thing if you can't do assault? A one-star review
absolutely.
On Yelp.
Absolutely. Yes. It's destructive. Yes.
And I won't
so
do assault. No. Too much to lose.
No, it's illegal.
Carry on.
All right, cool. Should I give him a backstory?
Dave, if you don't read that fucking backstory in 3 seconds, I'm going to kill you.
Yeah, backstory matters.
All right, so fair Mike enough. And I had it was International Cookies Day on the 4th of December, I believe. Mike and I had a wholesome day in Santa Monica. I was filming B-roll. I was like, I'm going to do a TikTok. My friend and I got a cookie on National Cookie Day. So I filmed all the B-roll, blah, blah, blah. And so we found the best place. And then we went there around. Oh, no, actually, that doesn't matter.
I think he's breaking down, Mike.
Yeah. No, that's
you're doing good.
No,
that's
he's cracking down.
I think he's breaking down.
Focus right here. Look at my eyes.
He's cracking.
Hey. Well, don't let him fuck with you. They do this. Don't.
Because of George's shitty sitting position.
Yes.
It doesn't work.
Switch with me. Only a man can sit in that seat.
Switch back. Go get
big dicks around here.
I see him crack.
Look right here. Way better. I like this.
Okay.
Now George is out of my way.
You really paid him to do all this. There's no fucking way. There's no way the day that we talk about this.
All right, here it is. Padaria Bakehouse, 1-star Yelp review.
Fluent reader all of a sudden. Fuck you.
So I was planning on creating a wholesome cookie review TikTok with my friend Mike. He's a burger expert in honor of National Cookie Day. So after hours of filming B-roll in various locations of Santa Monica, I set aside just enough time to make it to around 5:20, approximately 40 minutes before closing time. To my absolute horror, when we pulled up to Padaria, it was pitch black inside. At first, I thought it was a night theme. But to my dismay, they had closed early on the most important holiday of the cookie calendar. Needless to say, my TikTok was ruined, as was my life. We'll be going to Diddy Reese instead. Thanks. Yeah,
you don't need to give the guy.
So that was that.
There's a shout out at the end, but he doesn't know how to fucking end things properly. We're working on it. He's new to the creative space.
You did a fantastic job.
David also. Cookie Day was ruined completely, trashed. We went to Diddy Reese's while there was a line around the corner. It was an hour long line. He tried to
convince
shut your fucking.
It was not an hour long.
I swear to God, it was a long ass line. I'm not doing this shit with you.
He wants to cover up.
Anyways,
cover up what? Who cares how long the line was?
Listen to me. Stop.
It's a cookie thing.
Move on to you. You also had an experience with a Canadian.
What just happened?
No, stop.
Just tell us how the cookie.
You also wanted to move into a Canadian. You wanted to send flowers to a Canadian with a Canadian.
Wait, why don't
shop.
We leave that for the next
fucking
one?
I hate this seat so much, bro.
No, I think you should keep
it. Should I keep fucking knuckles?
Yeah, read the other one too.
Mike's covering something else.
Covering what?
So the line actually was 20 minutes.
What?
Maybe 20 minutes long, right?
Are you okay with that? I was going to meet a girl, yeah, but I'm not trying to talk about it. So go on to the fucking shit.
Should I do the other one as well?
Yes, read the fucking Canadian shit.
How do you know? Talk to our guest a little bit with more respect.
Bro, the dude is a... Wow.
What is he, Mike?
What am I, Mike?
You know, maybe we should switch seats, George.
You know, Mike... Why don't you fucking sit on
seat? I actually want to see what that seat's like.
Wait, what is this?
Oh, come on.
I like that. It's great.
That is ridiculous.
Oh, my God.
Oh my God. Do you understand the vibe of our show is now that of just like a bunch of fucking idiots
morons.
Talking
complete
about
morons.
Nothing for 70 minutes straight.
All right. So here's a second negative Yelp review with David. This time at a Canadian flower shop. 1 star. Do not waste your money.
No, make sure you deliver that properly.
Yes.
All caps.
Please, Mike, make me feel comfortable.
Straight stop. Get your hand off my shoulder right now.
Mike.
Do not waste fucking money. Paid extra for morning delivery, 1 hour late. Received an email that it was delivered. It wasn't and ruined the whole surprise. The flowers didn't look like advertised on the website. Promised a mason jar, but it came in a generic jar with a freaking handle. Can you believe that?
Did you write that?
Yes.
He said, read it how it's written, Logan. Maybe you should read it.
Maybe we shouldn't have had the German guy read English.
Yeah, correct. Correct.
That's fucked up, all right?
Deliver it properly, you know, please.
I'm sorry you're feeling this way here.
You haven't not
Yo,
speaking English recently.
Stop sexually harassing our guest.
Wait, you know what?
He hasn't been speaking English recently.
He hasn't been speaking English lately.
George, can you switch seats with David?
God, please.
I can't handle this.
Go
the fucking seat.
Go back
in your seat.
This is a musical fucking chair.
Kevin
fucking moved.
I like this rotation.
What the fuck is this? By the way, fuck you for complaining. I love it here.
Shit.
This was not good, this little experiment, because now I'm like, this is sick. This seat's
cool,
great.
Cool. Sit there.
You a rapper?
Do not waste your money. There's bullet points. Paid extra for morning delivery. 1 hour late. Received an email that it was delivered. It wasn't and ruined the whole surprise. That's the worst, actually. The flowers didn't look like they're on the website. Promised a mason jar, but it came in a generic jar with a freaking handle. And tarabang is an exclamation point next to a question mark. So this is a series of them. Nothing about this was a positive experience. And on top of that, they're pushy on their retargeting. We'll call you and email you to make sure you complete the purchase. I wish they would put that energy from their pushy behavior towards making their customers happy. Nothing but dry apologies.
Would you prefer
my money back.
Would you prefer a wet apology? Like what?
No, it's like I complain and they're like, oh, I'm sorry. Next time we'll do better.
They're called empty apologies. Not is dry apologies, would that be accurate?
Quite dry.
What is a wet apology? Because that begs the question.
I think this is a classic case of like.
I'm sorry. Sir, I accept it because it's wet.
I think the reason I'm saying that is because it's a classic case of translating one by one from German to English. Because we would say dry apology.
But you just ask him out overtly anything. Dave, he'll answer any question you ask him.
Dave.
Yes, Mike.
What is
what?
Wait. What the fuck? What did I just hear?
Just get him off.
Get cut anyway.
You gotta get out of here.
You
gotta get out of here.
Thanks for coming on the show, Dave. We appreciate you.
Yeah.
This motherfucker, bro. He's really holding it down, dude.
We interrupt this podcast to bring you a program. This episode is sponsored by Extra. Extra is the first debit card that lets you build your credit and earn reward points, just like a credit card with no credit checks, no interest, and no need to switch banks to sign up. Here's how it works. Users connect Extra to their existing bank account. Extra spots them for everyday purchases. Users auto pay Extra the next business day. And at the end of the month, all payments are tallied up and reported to credit bureaus. Users can also redeem points for every purchase they make. So sign up for Extra with the link in my bio and start building your credit with a debit card. Yes, a debit card. Thank you. Back to
traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
The podcast.
You know who I really want on if we're going to do... Can we have Reed on?
George, what the fuck is your problem?
Yeah, I don't think you can make those kind of requests.
I feel like, yo, hey, would you be willing to go back to the drawing table on the equity share?
Well, hold on.
It's just...
I'll sit back in that seat. Okay. What do I got to do?
What's wet? Oh, it's a ridge.
It's actually an apology.
a wet apology. I look around this room right now. Not at the people out there, at the two of you guys.
Oh.
Two people who back in early 2021 had started the year with smooth faces, nice hair, muscular builds. And I see two bags of trash. Like, that would be my how I'd describe you guys right now.
Jesus Christ.
Two piles of steaming shit with clothes on. And by the way, I'm speaking for myself as well. And the reason I bring this up
is... Well, how could there be two?
Three piles of burning shit. This year has aged us, boys.
Fuck.
Badly.
Fuck, I knew you were going.
Badly.
I knew you were going.
Bro, if right now Caleb, who's working the camera, could insert a picture of what the beginning of 2021 us looked like, that would make this point very understandable. Boys, we are dying in real time. We are shriveling up like old dry sponges in the view of public. What has happened? I went from, well, he's 36, but he could get 28 all day to God dang get him a wheelchair. This kid's toast. He's done. What happened? You have fucking crows. It's not even crow's feet. It's a flock of seagull's feet.
What am I? I don't know. I don't know. You know, it's hard getting older.
I mean, God, well, what's going on?
I got goosebumps, bro. Fuck.
Are you a poet?
I mean, what's the response to this? He's just telling me I'm a piece of shit. I'm like, yeah.
Have you ever seen that one movie that by M. Night Shyamalan? It's called like The Beach. And these families went on a vacation to the beach. And they started aging way too rapidly. They went from like 2 years old to like 60 in 2 hours. Did you see the fucking trailer for this shit? That's what I feel like is happening to us. We're dying, dude.
Do you know why?
Why?
No, I was asking you.
Oh, yeah, 100% I know why.
I think I know why. For me, I don't know about you. I mean, you, drugs.
I stopped doing those years ago.
I know, but they say it haunts you in the future. You know those movies you see in the third grade, and they're like, don't do this because you'll end up like that. They're fucking right.
Oh, yeah. So, guys, if you ever abuse either crack or heroin, at one point in your life, your aging will speed up dramatically for no reason. It's got to fucked up. No, but here's why. I believe... lack of sleep, mm-hmm. proper sleep schedule, mm-hmm. lack of routine, workout, facial care, diet. What the fuck do we think it is, dude?
I know what mine
besides
is.
Besides those things, because we really need help and potentially a trip to the Botox spa.
Yeah. I know what mine was. And mine seriously, I literally put fitness and like health in last fitness. Place last year.
You into fitness?
What?
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing.
Well, just answer him.
No, I honestly, I'll
no, answer the question.
I'm in a happy place, Mike, and when I'm happy, I eat.
No.
It's not what I asked, George. I said, are you into fitness?
I am now. I wasn't into it.
Yeah, yeah. Fitness dick in your mouth.
That is why you're choking up and crying. That is why you've been. That's the joke you've been bottling up.
Your delivery.
Hey, man.
Sucks.
Your delivery. Shut up. There's no way your foot's making that much noise. Zoom into his.
Wow.
What the fuck?
You have a prosthetic leg?
Yes.
Makes sense. No, I let my health go. COVID, you know, honestly, it made me really cozy and I have a great relationship. COVID. I had a great last year. I was on the show. I got to do stand up. I was traveling a lot more. I was really happy. I was excited to eat. And then I got fat. I slipped into this. I don't know how, but it's fucked up because I'm not kidding. When I shaved my beard, I cried and you guys made jokes, but I cried later. It sucked.
You actually cried.
Yeah, bro. It's really bad. Like, I understand now what it feels like to not love your body. I never understood that feeling. I fucking love it.
Just one more time, really quick. You cried when you shaved your beard.
I have a clip of it. I actually cried when I shaved my beard.
I went home early that day.
Yeah, I sent them home.
Probably a wise move, Reed.
I sent them home. Hey, I shaved my beard. I started crying. And he's like, you good? I go, you're good for the rest of the day.
He's like, yeah, I know.
I went straight to the gym and sat in the sauna for an hour because I kept convincing myself
that there was water sweating.
Weight.
You were
it
sweating.
Was water weight.
It was water weight.
I was like, it was all in my beard. I got to get it out. And then I got out and I thought I was even more fat. And I was like, what the fuck?
We're being facetious because it is, you know, hearing it is a little ridiculous, but also I feel you. Body dysmorphia and anything relating to your image of yourself and how you perceive what you look like and seeing what you look like and having that moment can be a little bit of a jarring.
I had this conversation with you yesterday. I like it now because I think one day, God willing, when I'm in that point in my life where I could really mentor people, because I believe in a lot of mentors. I have a lot of mentors in my life. But one day when I become one and I really want to shape people's lives, there was one part of my life where I've never really understood that point of view. And it's really hard to help somebody get out of it if you've never been in it. So now I understand what it looks like to seriously shower with the lights off because you just don't want to look at yourself in a reflection right now.
Wow.
It was to that point.
I actually love this. Yeah, I think this is cool. This is cool because I can also relate to what you said is it is very hard to relate to something that you see or maybe hear about until it happens to you and you have that feeling and that changes everything.
It is. And it sneaks up on you and it dude, self-confidence is the best thing in life. I think it's a cheat code. I've always had self-confidence, but if you remove that from a man, if you're not confident in the person you are, dude, you are selling yourself at every point. If you don't believe in the product that you're putting into this world, you're fucked.
Yeah.
So I truly learned from a really, really like vivid, vivid point of view. If you don't believe in yourself, everything in life gets harder. Everything in life gets harder. You don't even want to make love to your partner because you're like, fuck, dude. Like, I don't want her or him to see me in this light right now. Let me fix myself. And it fucks you up. And you start like hating yourself a little bit more. Oh. I literally had to like kind of doctor to myself and realize like, okay, like why am I going through this? What's the reason? And how do I get out of it quick? And I mentally prepared myself as like, all right, I think God put me in this situation to really understand somebody's point of view when they're like, yo, I don't have the confidence. Because to be honest, by myself without discussing that with people, when people said that to me, I'm like, this guy's a fucking pussy, bro. Like, stop. Stop feeling bad for yourself. Like, get over it, fix it. But when you don't believe in yourself, because dude, I had the whole world not believing in me. Like literally, I got moved out of my school. My cousins didn't believe in me. My friends didn't believe in me. But all it took was for me to believe in myself. But if you don't have yourself believing in yourself, you're fucked. It's done. Every mission you set forth on, it's done. Because you're just going to get in your head.
I think it comes back to like self-love too. It's like a mix of, do you try to attain more confidence in yourself through being the best physical and mental person that you can be? Or do you get comfortable with the idea of loving yourself no matter what you're looking like that day, what you're feeling like that day? Because that confidence and how you portray yourself in the public eye and to other people, I think is just a result of how you feel about yourself at the time. It's like self-image, self-worth directly translates into self-confidence outwardly.
I absolutely 100% agree with you. Somebody asked me to go, why is it that your philosophical views are from the Bible? What makes the Bible stand out to you? And I said, because the teaching is love. And I feel like once you figure out love, if you love yourself, you could love others. But if you hate yourself, you're only going to hate others. Yeah. If you can't, 100%. If you can't show love to yourself, bro, there's no fucking chance you're going to show love to other people.
Well, that's what I mean. I think it was a big learning year for me, and I'm sure you can relate to it a little bit, George. Logan probably already knew this, but like all the mean people, negative people, trolls, all the people out there now, like, I used to get so hung up in that shit, and it took so long to realize that it's just a reflection of how they're feeling. It really is. It really is. Like, yo, you're saying that because you hate your life.
Of course.
You're saying that because you have nothing good going for you, and you want to make other people feel how you feel about yourself.
And that's why I get so, I'm trying to figure out the perfect way to word this in the media, but when they're like, yo, we need to get rid of bullies. And I know it sounds really fucked up, but if they saw the way, I have a video of, bro, like when I was on stage, they were throwing shoes at me in my high school. I have a video of it. I could get my mom to play.
They did that to George Bush too. You know that, right?
I think it's all George's.
How many shoes, George?
One. But I say shoes because it's so much cooler than a shoe.
Yeah, one shoe is one
you're
thing.
Right, but if right. they threw multiple things, I just say shoes.
One person threw a shoe at you.
One shoe and it's a boot.
No, can you imagine when he described it originally? I thought he every day showing up, New Balances, Nikes, Reeboks, just like it's almost like someone had a merch launcher and was just shooting rapid fire and somebody screaming, no automatic in the building. Like, and they're just fucking shooting fucking shoes, dude, out of fucking cannon, bro. It's
probably not the best in comparison.
I get it, though.
It's a meme. Like, no automatic. It's like...
But anyways, my theory behind it is I learned that other people's voices is nonsense. It's honestly fugazi, fugazi. It doesn't make sense.
You're saying that
about it doesn't exist to you because it's their point of view. And I was at a young age when I used to get bullied, and my mom just told me one thing that changed my perspective forever. When I came back, it was the third grade. All my friends stopped being friends with me, and all my new friends are like, you're too old and ugly to be our new friend. So I had no friends. So I had to literally eat lunch in the bathroom.
I'm sorry. You're too old and ugly to be our friend?
Yeah, because when I was a kid, I looked older because I had a mustache. So when I got held back, I looked like I was in like middle school.
You told me you had a mustache at like 6, right?
Bro, no, I had pictures. My mom nared my mustache because I was too young to shave. This is a true story. She nared me.
You have a mustache as a baby.
I had a peach fuzz, but a lot of peach fuzz. Like a mustache.
When did you start shaving your arms?
Fifth or sixth grade.
What would happen if you didn't shave them? Would you look like the Chewbacca. Bigfoot?
But by the way, that all started because I wanted to fit in. Because they would make comments.
Nobody wants
it.
To have Chewbacca arms.
Yes.
That's not a valid answer to what I just said.
I don't know how to answer it, so I just said yes.
I believe Mike may have offended another marginalized group. The people with hairy Chewbacca-type arms. You can now join the Facebook group called Marginalized Groups That Mike's Pissed Off.
There's so many.
They include.
People have been cut in half by elevators. People with, what's it like, arms as legs?
People with arms as legs.
Is there people with arms as legs?
Yep, women with no vaginas. He has had correspondence with one who was unhappy with his joke about her lack of vagina.
There's one other one.
Chewbacca women. We need added to that list.
No, people with Chewbacca arms.
Chewbacca arms people are added to that list.
If someone's this watching this, please.
All in caps. He leaves them. The German reads a review.
If someone's watching this episode, I would assume you are if you're here. If you're both watching and listening to this episode and can hear my voice right now, heed my call. Please produce a list of these marginalized groups. I know someone has it. Post it on Twitter. Tag me. I'll fucking retweet it.
We are off this podcast to bring you a word from our sponsor. By now, you've probably seen about 1,000 gift guides for the holiday season. Gifts for moms, gifts for dads, gifts for your neighbors, cousins, dog. You can study all those gift guides and shop at 10 different places, or you can start shopping at Raycon and get a gift everyone will use. Raycon wireless earbuds. They'll give you amazing audio quality wherever you go, whether you use them to pump up, wind down, work, or work out. They're useful for anyone on your list. And even better for you, they start at half the price of other premium audio brands. With their latest model, you get 3 new sound profiles to make sure everything sounds amazing with just the right amount of bass. With free shipping and returns, gifting is easier than ever. The holidays are here. Now is the time to knock out that gift list and avoid the last minute shipping scramble.
especially because right now my listeners will get 15% off site-wide with code HOLIDAY at buyraycon.com/Logan. buyraycon.com/Logan. Back.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
To the podcast. Is it true that our dads are the last men on the planet? Or are we jaded? That's what I want. That's what I'm here to ask.
Love this topic.
I think we're all pussies compared to our fathers.
We were having a conversation in the other day, car ride. We were all talking and we were talking about how our dads, you know, built houses from the foundation up. My dad, renovator, mortgage guy, painter, clean gutters. Man's man. Your pops what? Could do a whole house
foundation, pour the foundation, use the auger
Jesus.
To dig the post holes for the back deck, put the deck in, put the roof on. Oof. Studs, walling, insulation. Don't get the insulation on you, kid. Yep. It'll itch you for fucking weeks.
Yep. Oh, dude.
Like, bro. Cock. Jesus.
Bro, my dad told me, if you can't fix a pair of brakes by the time you're 30 on a car, you're a pussy. Yep. I'm 36. I ain't never fixed no fucking brakes.
I actually know that the day my dad literally was like, oh, this kid, he's fucked. He's done. He was hanging up a wall. He was hanging up a TV. He was hanging up a wall. Right? It was a beautiful wall.
This looks about right.
So he's in a rush and I kept pressing him because the poor guy he had to leave for the airport. And I was like, please just fucking hang up the wall. I can't even hang up a picture. I was like, there's no way I'm going to hang up a fucking TV, bro. Let alone a wall.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Why are you talking about the wall?
It's called the callback.
You just continue.
You can't call back something that just happened a sentence earlier.
Well, it's in the past. It's a callback.
Shit-ass callback. It's like a present back. A call present.
It's a backpack. It's like still with you.
What the fuck?
So he's putting up the TV and how they built my house is they're not supposed to put water pipes next to the entertainment section, but they did. My dad burst a pipe and it was the fire one. And this thing came out like the whole house is already this much water. It was coming out fucking fast. I thought we had to move out. I was like, oh, this is fucked. My house is done. He's like, George, I'm holding the water. Go turn off the water. I sprint down. My stupid ass I gotta do this for my father, right? Flick open. I'm hitting all the switches. My dad goes, what are you doing? Come on. I'm fucking hitting. I hit the water one. I hit the water one.
Yeah, you're on the breaker board.
I'm at the breaker board. My dad comes down. You fucking idiot. Why are you buying electricity? Go to the fucking water. And so he goes and he turns off the water and this wet Middle Eastern man is sitting there in melted cologne smell. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. He goes, what the fuck are you doing? Buy the electricity. He goes, go to the water. He goes, what the fuck are you doing? And I go, Dad, I've never done this. I've never turned off water in a house before. He goes, electricity. Water, you're a fucking idiot. And he got on the plane and left me with a fucking hole with all this water. He was so mad.
And he never came back.
How did I raise a son that doesn't know electricity and water are separate things? And he left.
It's really funny because I've had many moments like this where my dad was like, where the fuck did I go wrong with you? How are you? I asked you for a fucking Phillips head screwdriver and you brought me a wrench. Are you a fucking moron? Like the amount of times I was in that exact situation. But another thing that I realized through that story was dads who thought or were able to do pretty much everything also were susceptible to mistakes in their process of doing too much. And my dad, although he could do everything, he also was very sure he could be an electrician. And one day we were all eating dinner and my dad was on the back patio. I'll never forget this. He was working on the outdoor outlets. I think he was putting a new outdoor outlet in.
Yeah.
And I think he had like a slight second of forgetfulness that you can't put a metal screwdriver into a fucking electric socket. And there was a sonic boom, dude. We are at dinner, dog, and there is a Hiroshima happened in the backyard. There was a sonic fucking boom. It was like an atomic warhead dropped on the back deck, and my father shot back about 15 feet.
Was he okay?
You know how dads... Okay, so like...
Dad's like, you know how dad's char when they get shocked by electricity? He kind of looked like that.
You know how when you order your dad medium rare and it comes back black and blue? No, but like, you know how dad's like, there's two things they don't want to admit ever. One is that they've fucked up on a home improvement project.
Oh, no.
Like, they just don't take that fucker to the grave, yeah, dude. Yeah. And number two, and this is the biggest, is that something that they've done to themselves has actually hurt them. They went, bro, dad, your arm.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
Is hanging off your body, dude. He's like, hey, eat your fucking supper. Eat your fucking supper. Let me get a fucking Band-Aid. Eat your supper. You know what I'm saying?
I wonder if this is so, like, really just specifically relatable to a very certain subset of dad. Known as... your papa and mine. Because I don't know.
My dad yelled at me in 2 different languages and he bounced back from English to Assyrian in Middle East. You stupid brunit ichred babet. Who the fuck you? And I'm like, what the fuck is he? I'm like trying to figure out the translation here. I was like, I don't know, man. And one time he said he called me brunit ichre. And in English, that means son of shit. And I swear to God, I was a little kid and I said it out loud because I was trying to like fucking break it down. He's like, motherfucker, why do these teachers already call you Brunit Ichre? And I go, son of shit, you're shit. And I looked at him and he goes, what? I go, no, you said. He goes, no, what you said. And I blacked out. That was one of my blackout moments.
So this is what I'm talking about. Because, you know, our pops ruled with an iron fist. And I also have to beg the question, are we in a bubble? There's still dads out there like this.
100%.
1,000%. Like we're bubble. My dad's even still doing this stuff. But... you know, we aren't like that. Our kids in our generation like that? And if so, I want to meet you. These people build from the ground up. They're the foundation. They're our fathers.
Yeah.
They made us, their fathers made them. And as I mean, fathers and mothers, it is what it is. But
I wonder if their fathers were like, instead of building like a break, they're like, if you can't build a car at the age of 30, you're an idiot.
No,
maybe it just kind of goes.
No, I'm sure if your dad was anything like my dad, you know exactly how your fucking grandfather ruled. You definitely, are you fine?
Dude,
listen to this.
When I was a baby.
None of us here are strangers to getting our fucking asses beaten by both of our parents, probably. Now, our mothers probably, I'll assume for you guys as well, had a weapon of choice.
Mine
was a massive wooden spoon.
Same.
She said, I will get the fucking wooden spoon. And if we didn't listen to that, the worst thing you could ever hear is, or I will get your father.
Mine was mental warfare.
Oh, she would just call you like a piece of shit, you hairy Chewbacca arm.
She would make me guess
fuck.
What the fuck's happening.
Hey, what do you think's happening, George? She's like doing weird skate shit.
She's George, like, George, pick your card, George, any card, George. Yes. Is this your card, George?
My mom was the worst. She'd make me say what was going on.
Who's wheezing?
She would set up domino rallies with rocket ships.
Start with the marble.
Just explain this.
Right now.
This domino right now.
Using statistics and probabilities. It's like 6. She's like, I wanted to answer in exponential format.
I mean, has your parents ever got frustrated helping you with homework and then get mad at you? Why are you so stupid in school, man? All the teachers call me. Well, yeah, help me out then. What the fuck is this?
Wait, hold on. So listen. What happens is it's like a trickle-off effect. Let me explain it. Every generation gets a little bit more pussy than the one before it.
Wow.
Okay.
Well, that's so true. Well
said. So like, dude,
they used to stone people in my country.
No, literally. So listen, my dad,
just
dad
stone.
Weed. I know you guys love that one.
It's a weed joke.
Yeah, weed joke. My dad's dad was from Hungary.
Is that why you're always hungry?
Let him talk for just.
I'm sorry.
You know, but on that note, I think Hungary is right next to Turkey. So the hung.
Nice. I
just forget
that.
It. Listen to me. Fuck. Okay, we're getting off track. Listen. My dad's dad was from Hungary, and his name was Zoltan. My father's dad's name was fucking Zoltan.
Damn.
Would you imagine ever talking back to this motherfucker? Ever? His name was Zoltan. He's a fucking Greek god or some shit.
I mean,
just in bed, say my name.
Zoltan.
Was that Mike saying his name?
Yeah, why?
No, his grandfather.
Yeah, like a weird
say my name.
To who, Zoltan, though?
His wife.
Well, I'm talking about him and my dad at this point. Seems like a weird time to make that joke, George.
It's a perfect time to make it.
I mean, it's a weird show.
Okay, so listen. My dad would always tell me after he was done, you know, my dad was big on the backhand.
Oh, cool.
Dinner table, whenever.
Fire.
Especially my father's least favorite thing that could ever happen. I'll get back to Zoltan in a second. Was that when he comes in the door from work, he trips over your fucking shoes at the door.
Oh, my dad had a few of these things.
Dude, this was the thing.
Yep.
If he walked in and your shoes were in front of that fucking door, because think about it. My dad used to drive 2 hours from Connecticut to Rhode Island to his marketing fucking job in traffic both fucking ways. To come home and eat dinner with his ungrateful shit kids. And the first thing that welcomed him to the door, right after hearing my mother's shrieking voice screaming out, Michael, was him tripping over a pair of size 70 Nikes. Because I was already had huge paddle feet to form mashed potato toes at that age. And he would walk in and stumble and trip and drop his briefcase with his stupid paperwork everywhere. Like, put yourself in his mindset. Like, are you not going to immediately start cocking that fist back to just lay down the law on these kids, these shit kids?
Now everyone's working from home, so you ain't got no shoes to come back to.
Correct.
The trip over.
Correct. Shoes are done now.
My dad's thing was his room was right above the door that we'd go in and out to leave the house. So the door, sometimes we would let it just close and it would...
And the walls. Was it loud?
Yeah, it was light. It was like that in the garage. Like, my pops was serious about his naps. Do not interrupt his 45.
Yeah.
This is the guy who what are you doing, Dad? He's like, just resting my eyes.
And you do it still to this day, which is it. You collect, you call it.
I collect the AA. I'm finding the older I get, the more and more I'm like my dad. It's fucked.
Dude, it's insane.
What are you going to do? You know what?
You are like your pop.
Fuck. I mean, he's great. And he's good looking. He's aged like a fine wine. And I joke around, but I'm actually proud to,
GP's
a legend. My dad. Yeah.
Last note, Zoltan. My dad, backhands, maybe a few fists here and there, whatever, right? His dad. Because he would say to me, you're lucky that's all you got. My dad had a thing called a cat of nine tails.
What?
Yes, there was a name for it. It was a belt that had nine little belts on the end of it. It was a whip.
Sounds like a sex toy, dude.
Yeah, I know. It's kind of fucked up, actually, now that I think back to it. Now, maybe what you were saying earlier about Zoltan in bed makes sense. A little, maybe you were on to something.
What is my name? Zoltan! Zoltan, please, I'm sorry. No more shoes, Zoltan. I'm so sorry. I leave my boots outside. My dad was going to name me Giwergis. That's my father's name.
You understand you never would have got the equity.
You
never would have. George, it wouldn't even.
Emmanuel Janko was supposed to be my name.
It wouldn't even have been a conversation.
I think it would have been cool.
Then they went with Emmanuel. Just, we're going to name Emmanuel. They spelled Emmanuel wrong. I only have one N. I'm missing an N. I swear to God, this is the truth. George Emmanuel Janko. My
you
father.
Just say it faster.
Last second. My mother just pushed me out. Went through war. My father gets the paperwork. She goes, just want to make sure it's Emmanuel George Janko, my guy goes, no.
No, you're lying.
I swear to God. No. He goes, no. She's so tired, poor girl. George Emmanuel Janko. She goes, no way. Yep. Oh, just sign here. Okie dokie.
No
puts his
way.
Thumbprint there. My mom, I think like years later, when they're doing my baptism, they're like, oh, where's his birth certificate, all this stuff. And she shows, she goes, what is this? Till this day, my mother goes, your name is Emmanuel. Emmanuel, this rat bastard, while I was getting cleaned up after you came out of me, changed your name to George Janko.
I think we're forgetting to mention that your dad's name is George.
His name's Giwetigus.
Oh.
They were going to name me after him. I'm technically not a junior. I am George Janko.
Oh, what?
And I'm really mad about this. Giwetigus in Assyrian means George.
Why am I just finding this out?
So I found, you know how pissed I was? I wanted to name my kid George Janko III. I'm going to fuck around. And when my dad starts losing it, I'm going to bring him into the office, change his name the way he did mine. He's like, what are we doing at the DMV? I was like, Dad, it's a sponge bath. Just sign these papers here. And that way I can name my kid George Janko III.
So I guess people need to figure this out. Are we going to break this cycle? I think the child abuse is over. It seems like, at least legally. Well, but it is legal. Legally, and you know,
you can beat your kids still.
I think
wait, could you like smack them?
I don't believe.
I don't
so.
Know what
really?
The
yeah, because they go to school and say like, you know, like
my dad
you know, he smacked my bottom. You know, like it was already starting to happen with us when we had
you gotta treat them with fear.
I'm with you.
No, for real.
Well, no, I just, you know, I'm I think we're entering a generation where we're gonna find out what maybe the product of like a more loving, non-fear based household will produce.
Yeah, I know what
it's done so far.
What do you think it'll produce?
Pussies.
Hold on.
could be women without pussies. I don't even know at this
point. There you go again.
Just another group.
There you
on
go
Facebook.
Again with it. I'm going to be the one that gets canceled by this group.
What do you got?
What do you think?
No, that's it. What do you got, Logan?
What do you think? What do you think the future is going to hold?
I have no idea. I just think about it often about this generation that's being raised so vastly different than every single other generation in history. Humans have been around for 70,000 years.
Yeah.
I say this all the time. Homo sapiens sapiens. People like you and I. Just not as smart or...
How long did you say?
70,000. Homo sapiens sapiens. 70,000.
70,000 years?
Yeah.
Well...
Sorry. are these people who... Not even being funny, but in the beginning of this, are these people that just actually did have Chewbacca arms? Like, they're... How close
probably.
Are... Like, do you know what I'm saying?
Probably.
Like, at what point did the first, like... Oh wow, like that person has arms happen.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? Not fucking gorilla arms. And by the way, like you're offending me and George, who know obviously that people were beamed down to the Garden of Eden roughly 4,000 years ago. So if you want to have this little fucking confrontation, we could do it, Darwin.
Oh.
No, I'm not going to jump into that.
Oh yeah, you're not?
But what I will jump into is
we didn't ask you what you would jump
before in. That is what they're going to be like. And I joke a lot about my parents beating us. Obviously, we all are. We got our ass kicked. But it's not like to the point where we're like, hey, happy Easter, Dad. And then he just beats the fuck out of me. It's not like that. I think my parents did a fantastic job raising me because... They knew where to draw the line with respect. And I think if you don't have that line, if your kids could treat your... Because my parents are my best friends, but there is that line of respect that I'll never cross with them.
Of course.
And I think that is like... It was built off of that fear. I think fear is not a bad thing all the time. If you're doing it, there's a fear of letting your loved ones slip away if you fuck up.
I've made a mistake.
You've made a grave error.
300,000 years humans have been around. Civilizations around... 6,000 years ago. Is it this? I'm actually fascinated. This is not what the scripture says. You don't believe that?
Well, no, well, first of all, that's a hypothesis. It's an educated guess. It's not factual. But also,
Antichrist, Paul?
The Bible's calendar is very accurate. That's why countries use it. Even people that don't acknowledge the Bible, they use the calendar of the Bible. That's why in our history books we use.
I unfortunately can't verify what you're saying.
BC and AC, yeah, that's it's a true thing.
Those are just letters.
Okay.
I can't verify what you're saying.
Yeah, and can neither can I. I know.
That's why I don't. But,
that's why I didn't want to stay on that topic. Is at the end of the day, it's just.
But so wait, I'm just curious about
your theology.
Yeah.
You believe, both of you believe.
Don't ask me. I actually don't know what I'm talking about.
You could ask me. Go ahead.
He mentioned humans were what, beamed down 4,000 years ago? Is that what he said?
What do you mean beamed down?
I don't know. That's what Mike said.
No, he's just joking around.
Oh, so
the Garden of Eden is where Adam and Eve were.
The first humans.
When?
On day 7. I don't know. I think it was day 7. Adam was created. Yeah.
Whoa. Were the dinosaurs around?
Yes, actually, yes. And the scripture does bring up dinosaurs.
What does it say?
I mean, I don't know. I don't like to speak scripture unless I'm reading it, because I hate false doctrines.
Just give us the cliff notes, man.
Basically, what I think is, through the studies of what I've read and reading the scripture versus what scientists have, it's actually very accurate and very much the same. That's why I really don't understand when people are like, if you don't believe in the Bible, you're not going to believe in our history. Like for example, giants or dinosaurs and stuff. And I thoroughly believe in that. They don't believe in aliens. I disagree with that, because God's a creator. You know, he's created before us and he's going to create after us. People are like, how would the beginning start, or how is it ending? There's so many questions that are like up in the air, and that's where faith has to step in. And like, at the end of the day, we're all on the spinning rock and choosing to believe in our...
Some people think it's more of a pancake.
Well, you know, that's their theology and I respect it.
You actually do respect it.
I respect everybody.
Did you say giants? At one point?
I believe in giants, yeah. David and Goliath. And then there's actually giants in museums, and I think it's in Egypt. Egypt or Jerusalem.
How big?
Again, I don't like to just speak, but I know that there is giants in museums. But you could Google this. This is something you could...
Do you have anything on that part?
I mean, you could Google it. You can see what museums they have on.
Sounds reasonable.
Yeah.
Are you serious?
Sounds like giants could be real. Fucking giants, George? What are you talking right now about?
I believe in giants.
How big are the giants, dude?
Probably as tall as the ceiling, maybe.
See?
That's not a fucking giant.
That's just a tall ass guy.
No, but to us, that's giant. I mean, to me, that's giant.
I mean, yeah, there's probably a couple.
I mean, I don't know how big we're talking about giants.
Okay, imagine this.
Yeah.
You're 50,000 years old.
50,000, got it?
Just kidding. You were born 50,000 years ago. You're human, right?
Yes.
And you see one of you and your clan that is fucking massive, mutation in the nearby tribe. Okay?
I go, that guy, giant.
Right.
That guy, giant.
Right. You write it down.
Yeah.
You remember it. The stories get passed down generation. And yeah, humans embellish and tell stories. So I can imagine how through a weird, very long series of telephone, the 8-foot guy becomes a giant.
You believe in dinosaurs because of fossils and bones and all that stuff, right? So look this up and see what the tallest man is.
You tell me what to type in.
Type in, I don't know, giants in museums. I feel like if there was one, that would be the way.
But you said there was.
I have seen... articles about them, but again, I can't.
I have to see it with my own eyes.
This is. I mean, these are just tall fucking people who they took their bones after they died and put them into a dinosaur
museum.
Oh,
that one. What's that?
That's a T-Rex, Mike.
Oh, got it.
I mean, yeah, these people are fucking tall.
It's like Dikembe Mutombo.
Wait, hold on. This guy's actually tall as fuck.
That's what I'm saying.
Well, they positioned him next to a
what?
Person of
asparagus.
these are wow. That's what I'm saying, bro. Like,
talking about giants. Oh, wait. Many of the 5,000-year-old skeletons measured 5'9" long. A human's exceptionally tall for that period, which is the other look. All I'm saying is this: there were no fucking giants, bro.
Well, here's another thing. We can't just shut down every like.
You're right. I have no idea.
That's why when people are like, yo, flat earthers are fucking crazy. I'm going to be quite honest with you. If we died and God was like, dude, you'll never believe this, but your fucking planet was flat as shit, I would have been like, nah, come on.
Bro, that's where I draw the line. Because listen, what you're talking about.
What line are you drawing?
Let me fucking say this shit right now. What you're talking about right now is this Rene Descartes-esque theory of the inability to believe in one's senses, sight, sound, feel, whatever, right?
Yeah.
I can go up in a rocket. Okay. Please be careful if you do this, especially if you have a pending lawsuit. I can go up in a rocket and see that the earth has fucking roundness to it. So if I can, in real time, verify the reality of a certain thesis,
okay,
then yeah, dude, we do know.
So here's my...
Unless, of course, you're saying that we can't trust our senses, which well, is a no, very have meta you, have conversation
Have you jumped in a rocket and actually seen it? So this is where I lay my eyes on. I tend not to just be like, I know Mike has been up there and I know 100%. I always leave room for my mind to grow.
What if I had
I don't like to
there.
Have a glass ceiling.
What if I had been up there? Then would you believe it 100%?
I, for me to believe it in 100%.
You got to see it.
I have to
What
see
about me?
It or,
what about me? You know me. Come on, you know me.
Whoa.
Yeah, I trust you more. How do I know you weren't smoking crack rocks up there, bro?
I'm the only one in this group that doesn't do hard illicit drugs.
That is
Are
true.
Are you kidding
you
me?
You do fucking drugs now. You do head?
Yo, we
take
we
it away, Blocks.
We have to stop this narrative. I'm going to fucking fuck you up.
Yo, they get mad.
Both of you. Because they're going to watch this and go, he's getting defensive. He really is good. The drugs. Like, no, bro, how did this get started? Why are you perpetuating it? You know what the headlines were saying. I know the headlines, George. Well,
here's it. How would you feel if, God forbid, you passed away from doing hard drugs and I was lying to everybody saying like, yo he was never doing it. And then all the fucking news articles would be like, his best friends didn't even fucking stop. This is what happens with pop stars.
This is what I do. I drink probably 3 nights a week.
No, there's no way we're doing this again.
There's no fucking way you're lying like that.
Stop.
You tell them about my habits.
No, now he's clearly fucking around. But hold on.
Okay, tell me who am I? No words. Ready?
Stop. What the?
Not your mic.
Oh my
not
God. Your mic. Oh my God. Is he intravenous using heroin?
Holy shit.
Oh, that sign's about to fall on him. Oh, he does that a few more times. He's impaled. Dude, you want to hear the most fucked up part? They've been getting mad at me because they're like, as someone who talks about, you know, safety and drug addiction and getting off drugs, that you should be the one to be more serious about this. Let me tell you, son. Us drug addicts are fucked up. Real dark sons of bitches. That's the reason we use drugs in the first fucking place. We're fucked. Of course I'm going to fuck with the kid.
He's still down there, huh? Stuck,
dude. Really. Especially because there's nothing. He ain't doing anything. He's not fucking doing drugs, you fucking morons. If he was actually doing drugs, that would be a different story. Then it wouldn't be as funny of a conversation. But he's not fucking doing drugs,
dude. I don't think that conversation would be funny at all. I think... You know,
What?
If I were...
No, I said it wouldn't be a funny conversation. It'd be a fucking dead serious... Like, I'd be zolting on your ass.
Yeah, I feel you.
Yeah. You ain't ever going to touch a fucking drip of blow.
Okay. Speaking of blow, is Ryan Reynolds the coolest guy on the fucking planet?
You know what's so funny? He got me into doing rom-coms, bro. Like, I've been a huge fan of him since fucking Blade.
Why is he so cool?
He's effortless. He doesn't try hard. He goes in a different direction. His comedy's fresh. He's a good-looking man that's confident, that has a love interest in real life, and it makes it cool to be in a healthy relationship.
Suck his dick already.
First of all, I would.
Everyone would.
Gun to fucking head.
No.
Dude, I'm like, suck his dick. I'd be like, put the gun away.
Now you're talking about.
Put the fucking gun away. It's Ryan Reynolds. Free guy.
No, everyone.
Free ball it in my face. Sorry. I'm so sorry.
You've thought about this, huh?
A few times.
No, everyone would. That's what I'm saying. He's so fucking cool and likable. And like, I can't imagine like being that awesome. If he was in a room, do you not agree that every girl in the room will flock towards Ryan Reynolds?
Not if Leo was there. Not if Leo was there.
No, fuck that. Leo over Ryan Reynolds?
Dog.
Dude, that ship has sailed.
Dog, hold on a sec,
Titanic
brother.
Style.
Nah, I know. Why don't you do me a favor and stop? We're sitting here talking about one of the greatest actors, Ryan Reynolds, mm-hmm. when in comparison to the Michael Jordan of acting, equates to a high school baller, brother. There is no fucking comparison. No, just shut your godforsaken yap and let me finish this fucking point.
Okay.
When LeBron James goes to play a game of pickup,
yeah,
with a couple sissy nannies down at the local brewery.
You got it.
I don't know why they're playing basketball.
The brewery got a
basketball. Whoever was the big dick dunker that day no longer is, brother. And I assure you, Mr. Type, Ryan Reynolds plays a great role. It's called the Ryan Reynolds role.
So
I'm fun. Stop.
No.
I am almost done. Let me finish my point.
Okay, finish it quick.
Because it took.
I'm funny. I'm romantic. I look at me make funny predictable jokes.
Oh, not as predictable.
Then you have Leo. Sex icon. From The Revenant to Wolf of Wall Street to Titanic. A chameleon of cinema and art. Embodied in one of the most sexualized humans in the history of this planet. A man who was able to make Jeff Bezos' wife erect.
Erect?
Sprinkle like a spring shower.
What?
All the way down to the newest, hottest 19-year-old model who thinks Leo is also the sexiest man on the... Leo... trumps Reynolds.
In what category? That's what I'm saying. Oh my God.
All categories.
I think Ryan Reynolds could possibly be cooler.
Obviously. Here's the situation. What do you
know? We don't know who Leo is. He's an actor, right? We changed.
There's an actor.
What's Ryan Reynolds?
There's actors.
He's Ryan Reynolds. You just said he plays one role. It's who Ryan
he plays.
Reynolds.
It's who he plays.
No, he's Ryan Reynolds.
Oh, you think it's just a direct equation to his real life character?
No,
I think he's probably, hey guys, I'm Ryan Reynolds. I'm Free Guy.
No, he's less animated for sure. You know, he's chill.
Here's the thing: there's actors that are super respected in this industry, like for example Leonardo DiCaprio, and then we have movie stars. There's difference. There's a movie star like Kevin Hart, Dwayne The Rock Johnson, Ryan Reynolds. They play the same character in the different movies because they're the fucking guy. Now Leonardo DiCaprio isn't playing himself because he's not the guy.
No. In fact, it's the exact opposite. Since he doesn't play the same character in every movie, he is the guy.
When it comes to
movies, in the movies,
he's the boss.
No. Fuck that. When it comes to acting, when it comes to working a room, when it comes to being the biggest sex icon, when it comes to everything, y'all are not understanding this properly.
He might have a point, George.
Brad Pitt. At one point it was, and by the way, listen, I'm not saying that Reynolds is dramatically lower. It's not like some sort of massive, you know, declassification.
But what a fun career to have.
100%.
That's what I'm saying. Yes. I want his career more than I want Leo's. And I'll tell you why. He has an amazing, I mean, by the way, this is what we've seen on the media. I don't know the fuck. I'm not going to the brewery where LeBron James is playing basketball. I'm just saying that when I see his lifestyle from my point of view, having a great wife, you know, kids that he loves, an industry that he walks in and runs, movies that are box office hits, grand slams, that even other huge celebrities are wanting guest stars in him because they love his art. That is what I want to do.
Listen. You're both making great points. I think we have to leave this up to the audience. I really do want to know. Ryan Reynolds or Leo? I mean, like, if they're in a room. Here's the question. No. I'm not asking. I'm saying if you're in a room and they're both there on opposite sides of the room, who are you going to go try to meet? You have one. Pick one.
We're putting a poll up.
Is it Leo talking about the icebergs melting?
Whoa, don't try to bias the opinion of the
question.
And by the way,
glaciers are melting.
How
dare he try to save the planet? Fuck you,
or
George.
Deadpool talking about penis jokes all the time.
As far as the actual acting goes, last part of it is you asked me like what makes someone great or that guy. My simple answer, as I said yesterday, would be depth of roles. Depth of fucking roles. McConaughey. Depth of roles.
McConaughey? You made your point.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it's weird you said it like that. What about that guy?
McConaughey.
What about that guy?
Oh, that's a fuck up. I'm heated. Yeah, bring him on. Ladies and gentlemen.
Can we turn the lights down?
Mac is back. Mac is back, guys. How are you? And if you don't know, Mac has been my best friend since I was 6 years old. We raced in the playground. I beat him. And ever since then, we became best friends.
Until obviously, of course, last year, Logan infamously bullied him off the show.
Well, I never mentioned he was on the show again. Still building up context, but let me know when you want to take this over. And then he came on the podcast and Paul, so we had him on for about 100 plus episodes. Right. And then Mike bullied him off the show.
That really a thing? Did you guys get in a tiff on the show?
A little bit. Yeah.
What would you guys tiff about?
It's hard to be the third person on a podcast with two very vocal main hosts.
I feel you. when I was on the podcast, you were such a great host to me. I remember you respected me. You wanted me to speak. You spoke at right times. Unlike this fuck over here.
Damn, the balls on this guy.
No, because
how you been, Mac?
I'm good. I just went on a good run with my new friend Mike
Posner from Posner. Last episode, right?
Or no, next episode, Mike Posner. Yeah. Yep.
Oh, he was here in the building and asked me if I want to go for a run. So we went for a little run. I've been hanging out in Puerto Rico, helping this tall blonde kid on an art project that he just recently started. Living life, doing my thing, quiet, chilling out.
What about your own crafts? The stuff that you're doing, painting, writing, poetry, that kind of stuff. Is that still cooking?
Yeah. Did you ever get that place that you wanted to get for your art?
I rented a giant warehouse for a while. It was pretty cool. Didn't ultimately work out because I didn't need all that space. You think you want this grand, ultimate creation warehouse, but then you find out that you're only working on one small table. I stopped making large paintings, went to smaller stuff, and started working more on some tech stuff. And that's more computer focused as opposed to art centric. And I only need one laptop and I could travel the world with that. So
any learnings from when you were off the podcast and now?
It's been
about a year and a half. We've all had a lot of self-growth.
Yeah.
And learnings and knowledge.
I was actually just talking with Mike about this. You get to LA and me being ultimately and abruptly thrust into a massive Hollywood household with a maid, a chef, 7 friends, 10 people always in the house. And then leaving that to go to a one person household where it's me taking care of all my stuff. I was a mess. I was a slob. I wasn't taking care of myself. I wasn't working out. I wasn't eating properly. I wasn't focused, which I found was a product of like helping other people with their little projects as I could. And then when I had so much self-focused time, I didn't know what to do with all of it.
Yeah.
And what I found was I need to use that time to take care of my space because I was an absolute wreck and I had a lot of luxuries. My ego became inflated and it wasn't my personal ownership of those things. So then I got to go back home, humble myself heavily, or get humbled, I would say, by a cold, cold Cleveland winter. And, we all go through the dark moments, right? Especially on gray days. So have a couple dark days every now and again during the winter times. Make great art from that. Pain, first 4 letters of painting.
Oh, shit. And,
it's like a painting.
I never even thought about that.
I'm a word guy. Nice. Yeah, I started writing more. So now I'm a poet mostly. And other things I learned. You got to stay focused on your physical. Otherwise, your mental will start to deteriorate. Mike, I know you're big on that one. Mm-hmm. And make sure you appreciate every moment of beautiful things that other people have worked very hard for that have come into your life by a product of someone else achieving them.
I love
that's,
all of that.
That's dope. That's really cool.
That's actually sick.
Yep.
That's a lot of growth.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of growth.
What are you bringing to the table?
Holy shit.
Man, I haven't even thought about it from that perspective.
You're a good freestyler too, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
You are. We have
so much fun. He's a wordsmith.
Yeah.
He's a wordsmith. Make no mistake. He's very fucking good with words.
Yeah, he's been freestyling since high school.
Mm-hmm. We used to drive around in a... Remember the APA? The big...
Yeah, of course.
Infinity Quest 56.
Yeah.
We get the crew together. We play stupid instrumentals and everybody had to freestyle. I was just... I got better, I guess.
You been doing acid or anything?
No.
You
see, in California, you have access to a lot of substances.
I know. Logan knows.
Yeah. And then in Ohio, you get back and it's like...
I'm actually putting this to bed right now.
That's it. It's over. It's the last one. Because they're not... Because... Let's get it. Because they're not going to fucking, they're going to keep
guys,
it's
I'm
real.
Joking. He's not dude, fucking
stop,
doing
George,
drugs.
Stop.
You remember how Britney, everybody kept making a big deal. They're like, look how she looks. Listen, I'm telling you guys, everything is fine. There's nothing happening. Okay. There is nothing happening. You guys are reading too much into it. There's nothing happening. He's clean.
Check his piss. Check his piss.
Dude, I have fucking people texting me like, bro.
If you ever
and
need
by the way, God bless you. If you ever need someone to talk to or reach out to, I've been through the month. I go, what have you heard? How bad is it out there?
I get DMs. I answer them back. I go, don't worry, we're working on it.
No, by the way.
We put them in a 30-day cleanse.
We should just do. Why do you think we're all here? We brought you here to sit you down. Well, all your best friends are here in this room.
You know what? Nah, fuck y'all. I'm the victim here, and I'm gonna start acting like it. Mike Poster. Continue to make fun of me.
Okay.
Mike Poster comes in. Don't take a pill in Ibiza.
Wish you would step back from that ledge, my friend.
We should just do a live. It would be cool to do a live instant drug test on them. I just think that would be fun. Just see what.
I mean, you open up fucking Pokemon cards. You could open up to a little drug test. Oh, wow, you're scared?
That's weird how you got there.
Yeah.
Pokemon cards.
No.
You open them up.
And what was the comparison to the drug test?
Well, you open yourself up to the world.
Yeah, man. Why don't you see the next couple plays out?
Hey, man. So when you got bullied on the podcast, how did you get out of that?
Yeah, I'm curious too.
Well, I left.
Well, I can't do that now.
No, it's remember that it's good to be patient and listen, and that anyone that is willing to respect your thoughts in a conversation will also be willing to listen to what you have to say.
Awesome. Thanks for making that real. I feel bad.
No, a lot of time went by since that happened. I've had time to process a lot of who I was at the time too. And it was, you know, obviously we've already talked about this off show. I think we've even talked about it on show before, but it was just a very different time. I obviously was going through my own struggles with, you know, growth and ego and a lot of the shit. And the show itself was, dude, honestly, it was just a more fiery place at the time. I think me and you,
it was the middle of quarantine. We had all been living together for the past, how long? 6 months where no one was leaving the house doing anything other than sitting on top of each other.
I think I don't want to make excuses. I've told you before, you know, I said things on the show that I still feel bad about and I'm sorry for, and I am sorry, obviously, when I told you that.
Water under the bridge.
Yeah, I know now, obviously, but I think it was just, you know, it was a different show. It was a growth phase of the show. And I think, you know, we've gone through so many different versions of this show and so many different like energy styles that I think, you know, now we're at the one that I personally like the best, you know, which is relaxed on the couches. We're hanging out. We're talking about things that we all like to talk about. And it was a different time.
I think you've grown a lot in the past year. I don't know if it's when you like had that slip up on that podcast, but I'm being serious. Like when that whole situation happened, but me, Jessica, Reed and Belle were talking about it at our house. The past like month, you've always been checking in to see what I'm doing. If we're planning things, because a lot of like coordination stuff have been slipping up and you've been looking out for me, making sure I'm booked, making sure I'm like doing all that thing. So you went from, and I mean this full-heartedly, you went from only caring about yourself and what you need to get done around you to starting to look around to make sure people around you need some help. And I really appreciate that. It shows a lot.
Thanks, Georgie. Appreciate that too.
That was beautiful.
I just like to reward people when they're doing, you know, good.
No, I appreciate it. And by the way, I see it in the comments too, a lot lately. You know what I'm saying? Like just the growth on the show and everything. So it's always nice to see. It's a very dynamic environment. Nothing's ever as simple as it appears to be when you're watching a show. There's a million different, billion different fucking factors that go into it that, you know, as I like to say, you know, whether it's the audience or the commentary community or whoever, just don't fucking know. That's the simplest and easiest way to put it. They just don't know.
Is it too
meta
to be talking about like what goes on behind the scenes of a podcast? Like I feel like there should be a fifth.
I love that.
No, that's cool.
There's some podcasts that do a really good job of that. That do a really good job of showing all the people at work, the production team, like what they're doing. They have mics. They say shit.
I feel like our vlogs do a good job of that as well. We do a lot of that as well.
It's almost like I think the podcast tells like maybe 40% of the story. Our YouTube channel tell 10 to 20% of the story and the other 40% will always just be unknown to the public.
I think there's a lot more told on the podcast and it's like more real and it's more authentic on the podcast.
Yep.
I did not know because you guys are my friends. I didn't watch Impulsive when I came
it's
over. I was just hanging out with you guys. And if I needed to know something, I would know from like you guys.
That's fucked up.
I had no idea how fucking powerful and how many people watch the show. Mm. Blew me away.
It's nuts.
It's insane.
It's nuts. It's crazy that the majority, I mean, we say it all the time, like everywhere we go, it's, well, obviously they can't tell you that they watched your latest vlog because
it's 3 years ago.
How's it been being a minority character on two separate vlog channels?
He loves it.
It's interesting. You know, I have gotten the pleasure of being able to just live my life, and Kevin just shoots, and it's really nice because I kind of realize there's so much going on in my life. It is a show in itself. I don't need to play up anything. Mm-hmm. It's fucking insane, especially the past, you know, 3.5 months, Yeah. But these guys, you know, are always shooting, and my like nonchalance, me in real life is what I'm talking about, sometimes doesn't play that well from an entertainment point of view. And I want to be the best character in their vlogs, but I'm just turning the guy who is like, yo, fucking turn these cameras off, guy.
And, you always smack it.
Yeah, I'm like, I don't know. I'm like grumpy, like drug addict friend now. Like that's like the route we're taking. Well, no,
he did
like
it in quotes. He did it in air
it's
quotes.
Well, because it's fun. It's like it worked kind of as a narrative for a second. It's people were building where I was like, now it's like I'm all right, chill. You know, I like smoking weed. I smoke weed at night and in the day, in the morning and the night.
I've learned to pick my days with Logan, as far as like having him in the content. Like generally what will happen is like, we'll get to PR. We'll see him on a trip somewhere. And I'll know within the first 5 minutes of him being around the camera, if it's a Logan day or if it's not a Logan day. And there's some days where he's balls to the wall on the project. He's balls to the wall on getting an episode of Impulsive done and all this other stuff. And it's not a Logan day. And then the next day he wakes up and he's got the spring in his step. He's making crazy jokes. He's got a ton of energy. And I'm like, today's the day I'm going to get, you know, 20 minutes worth of content shot with him. You know? So I think it's just, I think you've turned that off. It's still, it exists, but it's just, you know.
I think you're just worried that you're going to come off bad, and you've never came off.
No. Yeah. That's not what I'm worried about.
Snap at me. Jesus Christ.
I'm trying to like summon a thought.
You just don't do that stuff anymore. You don't do that like that form of entertainment anymore. It's a bit of a muscle, and it's a muscle that I think you've cared to purposely forget.
I'm gonna explain something that is super fucking unrelatable, but it's what we're describing here. All right, for the past 7 years of my life, I've built this brand. I'm gonna speak like, I hate speaking like this, but it is this. I built this brand that is known as Logan Paul. That's me, but also the person that I've portrayed and the brand, again, isn't 100% accurate to who I am. And the more I enter my adult life and I can just speak on a podcast openly with my friends, and the more I'm like, oh, okay, like every person, I'm starting to discover more and more about who I am and what I like and don't like, what I'm willing to put up with and what I'm not, where I allocate my energy is a fucking massive one. And I'm less and less enthusiastic about being someone else. And with that comes a departure from this character that I've built that a lot of people think is kind of cool. A lot of people don't fuck with him, right? Mm-hmm. And a lot of people want that guy back, the vlog guy. And a lot of people are glad he's gone. But, you know, I'm maturing. And I have this concern. Mike Posner sitting there. I'll take a page out of your book and be a little vulnerable here about like, just ego-wise is, man, I just want people to like me. I want to be likable, you know? And the more I become me as an adult, am I likable? Like, who am I? Do people fuck with me the same way they fuck with the high-energy vlog guy who garnered a really large audience because he made a lot of people happy? Or is the more chilled out, relaxed, kind of more real one-to-one guy that you're seeing right now gonna attract a bigger, broader audience or not? And do I care? It's all these things I'm weighing out in my mind that I consider, and I've not reached a conclusion, but all of that is in the back of my head whenever I appear in your vlogs. And as a friend, I want to give you guys the best, right? Yeah. And so I'm doing a little bit of this, and it's not a concern. I don't think there's any like takeaways. I just wanted you to know that that's where my head was at.
I've seen so many stages of yours, and this is not me trying to like suck up to you. All of your versions of yourself has been sick, and a lot of people around you have looked up to it. I like this current stage of you. I think you're calmer and you're nicer to be around when it comes to like being a person, bro.
For
like,
sure.
You are now more curious to see how people are around you. And before, you're so into your set of your goal, but now you're mastering, I can get this goal and make sure everybody around me is okay as well. And I really, dude, it's easier said than done, but you're killing it. And I'm really proud. And I think you're going to become a man that you're very proud of yourself. And I think what you're battling is this in between, like, old you versus new you, because we're doing old things that you used to do.
Do you know what Gary Vaynerchuk said to me? And it's a fucking massive compliment. And when he said it, I was like, whoa, thank you. But also I kind of feel like that. He goes, you're the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air before he became Will Smith. He said, right now you're Marky Mark before he became Mark Wahlberg. This was in New York at the NFC.
And that's a huge.
It's a massive fucking compliment. And God knows it, bro. If I could become
kind of accurate.
If I could become a sliver of what either of those men have accomplished, like, I'm happy. But in the sense of, like, character, guy, thing, we don't know. The spectacle person. Yeah. Versus making this really, really, really enjoyable, really considerate version of myself that I want people to know as I blossom into the man I want to be.
You used to always say, I do it for the story. And in a story, for example, a movie, the character development really chooses the placement of how good this movie is. And if you have a wide character development in your life story, it's better. And I think that's what is happening to you. I think you are transferring over in a good way.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's cool. It's a very accurate statement that man made.
It's cool. I felt it. You know, I mean, you know, I believe in myself for sure. I don't know about Will Smith or Mark Wahlberg, but it'd be nice.
Marky Mark, though, man.
Marky, that was a throwback. That was a
Calvin Klein grabbing crotch. Yeah. Marky Mark.
Do you think moving down to the island, not focusing so much on vlog type content / video type stuff, which is very time intensive, right? Takes a lot of time, notes, editing, back and forth, that kind of thing. And now focusing on a little bit less. You're still busy. Still have a lot going on. But it's not necessarily Logan Paul hand touches everything, right? As far, you're still involved in everything, but you're not directing someone to do everything perfectly, right? You built out the team a little bit more. Do you think that the time that you've now gained has allowed you to kind of have more reflection? You're a person that doesn't, you reflect, but not endlessly. You're often looking forward.
Ironically, the team now is like, this, like, I think the leanest that it's ever been, believe it or not. I think your hand's probably touching more intimately now than it has in a while.
I mean, here on the ground, bro, it's fucking me and Kevin. Like,
yeah. Kevin's
Kevin's become my little brother. Yeah. We fucking travels around the world Kevin. With that kid.
Yeah, perfect great. Skin, by the way.
He's his great.
Skin's
great. He's in there. He's over there.
Skin.
Yeah. Kevin, say Kevin. Something.
Yeah, take
Kevin,
off your say shirt. Something.
You want to come out? Can you take your shirt off?
No, he's controlling the panels.
You know, Mike Posner used to like taking his shirt off on tour. It was his big standout moment.
Speaking,
no matter what.
Speaking of the crew, I have a little complaint I want to make. I don't think the boys know how to close.
Oh my God. Can we talk about this?
I don't think the boys know how to close it. I'm starting to get worried about it.
Kevin and you.
I'm actually impressed with Caleb. Not gonna lie.
This guy Caleb's a fucking closer.
I'm impressed with Caleb. Caleb knows how to have boots on the ground. Like I've literally had videos of him just making out with girls at the bar.
Yeah, but also at the same time, I just feel like these kids also have like, they just all have really big like hearts too. They're just
innocent.
Yeah, you know, they're kind of pure. Like Mac loves the idea of striking up a conversation and really creating a little bit of like a longer lasting. It's beautiful. It's not something to be. You guys need to learn how to close.
Yeah, it's a window of really opportunity, man. Up, like
it's actually, you had multiple options yesterday. I mean, you could have.
Hold on.
Okay. Multiple. Okay.
Hold on.
Okay.
You're assuming that I wanted to close,
but that's what I'm getting at.
Well, right, hold on a second. No, we're not. No. There was a point in the night where you
said the following statement.
You said,
"Mi esposa." Yeah, I think even Ray Charles was like, "I see what's going on here, bro. You're not closing."
That was earlier in the night, was it not?
To have Max back, if it's really your wife, do you want to have that type of interaction with her on the first or second or third night? Like, you got to work for
there's entire conversations around this.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
you're going to sleep with your wife on the first night? Do you think?
I don't think so.
Do you think?
Personally, no.
Really?
Yeah. I don't think so.
What if the sparks fly? Do you know she's an innocent girl? You've seen it through time. She's not one to like slip into dicks. Like,
yeah.
She's like, yo, this is a picnic. How did I end up
in this dick?
I think it's tough.
Whoa.
How did I end up inside this cock? And it's not the first one. I've slipped into many dicks before it.
I can only say this. From looking back, anytime that's ever happened,
yeah,
it has not worked out.
Got it.
Because clearly I'm not married.
Okay.
So based on statistics, based on statistical logical analysis, as Logan Paul might like, it hasn't happened. I don't know. I don't think so. I think I'll meet her. I think it'll develop over time. Friendship. I would prefer to foster a friendship before it becomes intimate, so it's not predicated on physicality.
Yeah.
Have you had regular dates without sleeping on the first night?
Absolutely.
And you're not married?
I'm 26, man.
That's what I'm saying. Your theology there doesn't make sense.
Ideology. One thing I will say is that, and once again to back on it, is any girl that I've ever had like pretty substantial feelings for or a desire to move into any kind of longer lasting relationship with have, I would say, I think 100% been girls that made me wait past the first three or four nights.
That's it. You're Kevin.
But that could be over the course of, you know, 2, 3, 4 weeks, a month. Like I don't mean like seeing them in four nights in a row. I mean phone calls in the middle. Like it could be 2 weeks to a month.
I guess that counts. What is the start date for this? Because my window was always 30 days. I was, if you want to be my girlfriend, yeah, right? Like I want you to command respect for me, like smart to not let me sleep with you in the first 30 days. It's my recommendation.
There's probably whole Caller Daddy episodes about this and a million other shows. I mean, that I could see men getting impatient a little bit prior to that period. But 30 days seems a little long.
But does the time off, like in between maybe texting, you're not together all the time, does that count?
Well, are you including blowies or old fashions? Or OTPG?
Should I be?
OTP?
No, I wasn't. Sex.
So you're talking about actual penetration. Yeah, like, okay. Yeah. So they can give you blowies like maybe 2 weeks in.
Big time. Yeah.
Got it. Well, yeah. That changes the game. That's always been another interesting point. Like how girls categorize or guys categorize, you know, OTP, HJs or blowies.
Yeah.
Old fashions,
yeah.
Okay.
I say that, but like
rim jobs.
But I only mean penetration. You know, like if someone were to give me a rim job, I wouldn't find that problematic.
That laugh after that sentence.
The way you laughed afterwards with your legs in the air looked like you were getting a rim job too.
I was.
I slept with Belle technically on the first date, but she says it was the second date because I was like, oh, this is a date. And she's like, this is not a date. But she claims that the first one was a date.
How long had you been talking though?
We were friends first.
For how long?
I knew everything about her.
See the difference?
Yeah. For how long?
Good 2 months. But like friends that we hang out every single day. I watched all of my friends try to smash and get rejected.
Oh my God.
I saw the
line of guys.
See, that's what I'm saying. If there's so much like sexual chemistry and you've been friends for a second, like that, maybe that first night does erupt. Yeah. Like it ends with major sparks.
But that's not first night. That's like,
rebuttal.
That's a good point too. That could be night 600.
That's a good idea. That's a good idea. Okay. So you're saying, so if she was your friend and then you guys went on her first date, the rules don't apply anymore because it's not the first time you spend time with her.
Absolutely.
You're saying the first time you spend time with her. I agree with that. If a girl was like, oh my God, what's your name? George? That's so funny. You were going to name Guedigus? Let me suck your dick. Okay, then I'll be like, all right, maybe she belongs to the street. Yeah. So I agree.
No, fuck that. Or even worse, the ones that ask you afterwards, do you even know what my name is?
Lifestyle's over for
me,
Mike.
A couple times I've been like, I actually don't. I'm so sorry. Fuck. I'm so sorry. And there's gotta be no worse feeling in the entire fucking world than that scenario for both people involved.
There's a girl out there right now that knows that I lost my virginity to her. I do not know what this girl looks like.
Yeah.
What?
Or what her name is.
That's crazy. What? That's nuts.
I do not remember.
Hold on. That's
how
odd.
Crazy is that? That's I just odd. Thought about this the other day because somebody brought up their first time. I know everything that happened.
Were you sleeping?
I remember where we were at. No, I got my heart broken. The girl that I was with for like on and off for 8 years of not being her boyfriend, but we're going to wait until we're married. She hooked up with my best friend. And I found out because I memorized her number and my phone died. So I typed it into his phone.
Do you still remember it now?
Yeah, it was under name Paris. And I was like, what the fuck? My heart dropped and I went to click like send a new message. And when I read the messages, destroyed me. So I immediately went to the nearest hookah bar because I'm Middle Eastern and I wasn't 21. You know? And I was like, I'm gonna hook up with a girl tonight.
I'm gonna hook up. It's the second kid series.
I'm gonna hook up with this girl tonight. And dude, you know where I try to tell people where I had sex?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a police park. I swear to God.
Seems like the best place to do it.
There's a police park right next to my house. So I had sex in the parking lot and I was like, okay, this is a little risky. And then I was like, wait a second, they have a volleyball sand place. It's like, it's 4 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning. I go, let's go have sex.
Hold on, you're gnarly, dude.
What?
How old were you? I didn't know this.
I was 19 years old.
Oh, and this is how you lost your virginity?
Yeah.
And you're commanding this girl to a sandbox.
Yes. Because by the way, she had, like, in the moment, I told her afterwards, but in the moment, she thought I was like, because remember, I had phone sex and I was a virgin. So when me and my girl were talking, I would Google shit to like please women. So I'd be like, yo, I'm going to do this, this, and that. So I learned a lot. So I wasn't just like masturbating to porn.
Sounds like American
I knew
pie.
What I was doing. Or so like,
you know what I'm saying? Like one of those movies.
Search boobs, quick.
So I'm having sex with this girl. I'm doing, and I learned like, okay, if I'm about to not like just breathe in, talk dirtier, or play with her. Like I learned how to last long.
Wow.
So 45 minutes in my first time having sex.
Whoa.
I brought her to the volleyball court and I thought it was going to be like sandy. I'm like, oh, we're going to fuck kind of on the beach. This shit was gravel.
The worst.
Kind of like the gravel that you rode your bike on. But like, it was like my knees were bleeding. Bro.
Just
like
did it was callback from a different episode.
And the whole time I was having sex with her, I kept getting nervous. Like, is there a cop gonna about to pull up here? Or is there gonna be people? So I was always just like, kind of like on the lookout. My whole memory was based off of like, yo, get in, get out. And I remember my condom breaking. That was a huge
That happened to me on my first time as well.
What?
Why is that so such a common thing?
Because I think what happens is what in that situation, I was so nervous and there was dust and I kept pulling out to check. It got dry. The condom got dry.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's a little bit easier for a condom to get dry when you have gravel in the girl's vagina.
True.
You are fucking rocks.
Pop the condom. Scares the shit out of me.
Who's the fucking girl, George?
No, I still don't know.
No.
So listen, so I go home.
No.
I go home and I tell my dad. My dad's watching TV in the middle of the night.
This can't be possible.
I swear to God.
George, hold on. Stop.
Where did you find the girl between
Hookah Bar?
She was just there. And yes. Then what? You said, hey,
oh, so shoddy. I was just talking to her. And so since I always talk to women, you know this about me. I don't make up games. I don't like to play the story. So I went up to her and I was like, hey, you know, this is my life. And I told her about my best friend just cheated.
Oh.
So I was making her laugh and I was like, you know, it would be a great slap in her face. And she said, what? I said, you should have sex with me. And she says, okay, get in my car.
Oh
and
my God.
We just got in my car.
Actually baller.
Yeah,
baller
yeah.
as fuck.
So it was a pity fuck or a spite fuck. And I don't remember who it is, but I remember this is the only thing that I vividly remember. I thought I got
dead ass.
What? Dead ass. Oh no, but her ass was fire.
Yeah, that's why I said dead ass.
I walked home and I opened the door. My face is white, bro. And I was like, Dad, I just had sex with a girl. And my dad pauses the TV, looks at me, goes, because he was so upset because I told him I was waiting until I was married. And he got so mad at me. He's like, what do you mean you're waiting to marry? I go, yeah, I want to save my virginity. He goes, what the fuck you mean? Say, what are you going to lose? You have a dick. He's like, you're not going to lose anything, man. He like, you know, got mad at me, wanted me to run away. So finally I came up to him and I told him I had sex and I was like, the condom broke and doesn't even look at, I'll never forget, doesn't look at me. He's looking this way, I'm right here. And he goes, did you come? I go, no. I didn't come because I was like, I just, you know, I didn't. He goes, he just continues to play his thing. He goes, then shut the fuck up, George. He's like, you're good. I don't want to hear about this again. And then I'm walking to my room, still doesn't look away. He goes, I'm proud of you. And I was like, all right.
He goes, dude, I love dad. I love dad.
I'm proud of you.
Do you think he did that moment? Like, he clearly didn't look at you because he wanted to be some sort
cool
of like
dad.
Godfather Scarface type character.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right? So do you think when you're a dad, you're going to act all cool so your kid can have these stories?
I hope so, man. I actually get scared that I'm not going to be what my father was to me.
No shot.
He was such an animal, bro. Animal. Dude, all of my stand-up jokes are based off of him. Like, all of it. And people come up to me like, is this shit true? I go, ask him. Because he comes to my show. He goes, no, it's true, man. That shit, man. I swear to God. He doesn't know how to fucking swear properly, bro. Like, you know how cute that is? When he's fighting a gangbanger at a liquor store, he goes, I drop you like hot potato. Like, what the fuck? Stop talking, bro.
I just still can't get over the story you just told.
I don't remember.
And it breaks my heart,
bro.
No, it's not even all that. It's not the forgetting. It's the... rolling around in a pit of volcanic ash under a volleyball net in a police car parking lot.
It's a park where the police
with
hang
a
out.
Random hookah girl and even worse. Shush.
I work.
Just
huh?
I hate that. Yeah, I hate to hear that you guys had to have your first experience with condoms.
That was the only girl I didn't use a condom with.
That you did or didn't?
Didn't.
Well, you did until the gravel tore it.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, I intentionally
nothing. Nothing against condoms, but it, I mean, in all honesty, like you know. By the way,
if you use a condom and it starts feeling good, that shit broke.
Yeah, yes.
I didn't know, Logan. I never had sex. I thought it was like okay, 13 minutes in, you feel shit. Like I don't know. Like
the only reason I say it is just because, like you know, for me, the first girl I had sex with was my girlfriend, and so we didn't use a condom because it wasn't a random hookup. Like we had sex all the time. Yeah, yeah. So it was the first time we had sex. So. Yeah, yeah. I just can't imagine that first time your
is
condom
there
break,
a
you
chance?
Didn't come like oh,
there's it, a little Georgie out there.
I just
his name's Guregas.
That's it.
I just farted so un- I farted. Have you ever had that where you like it was an unexpected laugh and you just fart?
Shit your pants.
Have you guys ever shit your pants?
We're done.
It's over.
Done. All right. Hey, well, you know what, man? Thanks for watching, guys. I really appreciate it now that I have a stake in this company. So please keep watching and like and subscribe. What am I not supposed to
go
send off?
It.
Yeah, well, thanks. And you know, tell your friends about this, guys.
Dude, say the fucking words.
Like and subscribe.
Yeah.
That's not that, man. Thanks so much for watching.
Thanks so much for watching. And philanthropist.
George, thanks so much for watching what?
Impulsive, the number one podcast in the fucking world.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.